Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
I'm Laura Stanley, host of Inside School Food. You are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal, and it's Tuesday, March 10th, 2015. Today we're talking about the importance of clean draft lines, and we got our special friend Sean Lynch from the Clean Beer Project in the studios, as well as some other great guests like Patrick Doniger from The Crazy Places, The Jeffrey, and other. Where are you from, Patrick?
You're all
over the place.
I'm all over the place. I'm from between 1st and 2nd Avenue, in between Harrison Street. I'm from Long Island City and originally from Donegal in Ireland.
We got Yvonne from Bell's Brewing in the house.
Hey, how's it going?
And Lindsay Ronke, who's a great bar manager. Where are you working now, Lindsay?
Bondurant's on the Upper East Side.
Give a big shout out to our sponsors. Beer Sessions Radio is brought to you by Union Beer Distributors, supplier of world-class ales and lagers. If you have any questions for our guests today, you can tweet us live at @beer_sessions. Maggie's in the studio, and follow her at @beer_sessions. This is kind of a serious show. So, Patrick years ago used to say that he cleaned every keg, every line, every day. And there is a real importance of cleaning lines, and Yvonne's going to talk to us about what it's like selling his beer and having to trust that the establishment has a clean lines. And I would say there's not really any official signature or award that's given out for clean lines in the states. We do know in the city we have the Good Beer Seal, which is a general kind of you have good beer, good draft quality. But we haven't really addressed what clean lines are. And my good buddy Sean Lynch has been cleaning beer lines for how many years, Sean?
I've had my own business for 1 year now, but I've been cleaning them for just over three.
And you tell us what you did. So you started tweeting about all the places that you clean, the Clean Beer Project.
Yeah, I'm trying to start. First of all, thanks for having me, Jimmy. I'm trying to start what's called the Clean Beer Project. As of right now, my Twitter handle is @cleanbeernyc. And I basically just tweet out the bars where I clean each day. Eventually, I'd like it to grow where bars that I don't clean, but I know their schedules and they do get them professionally cleaned, will all be able to join the Clean Beer Project. But as for now, everyone who's on it, I know they do their lines properly because I personally do them.
Well, that's great. So, Yvonne, so you're out there repping Bell's Brewery in New York City. What do clean lines mean to you, and how do you care about your product being presented?
Well, clean lines, they mean everything to me. We're a very draft heavy brewery in the market, and a lot of our fans come and get our beers at fine establishments represented by all of you in here right now. And it means a lot to us to have clean lines because at the end of the day, we can spend millions and millions of dollars on quality, which we do. We have a very extensive lab with a lot of PhDs and people getting their PhDs, high level chemists that make sure that our beer is consistent and at all times. And every time you drink a beer, a Bell's beer, you understand that you're getting a Bell's beer, and we can control it all the way up until it gets off the truck. And once it's in the hands of the account, we trust the account to have clean lines, because if you don't have clean lines, all the money you spend in the world to make world-class beer isn't going to matter.
Years ago, I thought things had changed. And I think there's, like we know, the Good Beer Seal bar is a lot of really good beer bar and restaurant accounts in the city where I know the beers are great and the lines are great. But I had a German friend 12 years ago who said I'd never drink draft beer in America because I don't trust the lines, and he only drank out of bottles. And that's kind of where it first came from for me. Patrick, you go way back. Your father had pubs in Ireland, and you grew up doing this.
He did.
Tell us about cleaning lines and what it means to you.
Well, I think, growing up in the bar business, my dad used to be very particular about his lines. And, back then it was a lot of Guinness, Millick's Harp and everything on it. And my dad always taught me that, every keg is unique, every keg is different. So it demanded the respect that the brewer who put it into the keg to make sure that happened at the bars too. So after every keg, we cleaned the line. And so on and so on. I was about five or six years old when I first learned how to clean lines, and I've seriously been doing it ever since. At the Jeffrey, we go through about 90 to 105 kegs a week, so that means we clean individual lines 90 to 105 times a week. At Fool's Gold, it's the same. At Alewife, it's the same. It's just when the keg kicks, even if I'm putting on the same beer that was already on it, we still clean that line because every keg's different. And it's important. It's so important for the...
What does cleaning lines mean? I mean, what do you do, Sean? I mean, you have a line with beer in it.
Well, there's a couple of ways, you know, some more effective than others. I do what's called a constant recirculation, where I essentially take all the beer lines and make them one long line and run first water through the whole system to get all the beer out, then a soap, a specialized soap that's made for cleaning beer lines, and then rinsing that out with water. And every 6 months do a phosphoric acid rinse, which gets rid of all the stuff left behind by the soap over the months. And, you know, the soap is really there to break down the organic material like mildew and mold, while the acid is there to break down what's called beer stone, which is a calcium buildup in the lines.
And what are some of the if I go into a beer bar that I don't really know, and I what happens sometimes I went to a place that I want to name it in Brooklyn, and I saw Great Divide Titan IPA, which is one of my favorite IPAs on draft, and right away I knew that the lines weren't clean because of the flavors, these off flavors. Who wants to describe what it tastes like when you have an unclean line?
Butter, popcorn.
You're just going to get a stale stench off it. You know, it's not. What I always look at is Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, which is, you know, it's one of the most constant beers out there. And, you know, I have it in my bar, and I'll go to another bar and I'll taste it. And before it even hits the table, I can smell the acid all off it, or I can smell some other off flavors like Band-Aids or whatever. And right off the bat, I know, like, I'm not going to be drinking beer from their draft system in that bar. And, you know, it's a huge letdown, and it's something that I'm glad, you know, you're working on to promote clean lines in New York, because there's a lot of bars out there that really need to take that extra time to spend on cleaning their lines. And, you know, you're looking after the product that these, especially craft breweries around America, really, really are passionate about their beer, and they want it served in the best possible condition. And I think it's a bar owner and bar manager's obligation to make sure that you're getting a clean pint, that customer is coming in satisfied, he's tasting beer as if it was poured right from the brewery yesterday.
Yvonne, as a brewery rep, I mean, do you feel like you can go into an account and tell them about cleaning their lines if you have an issue?
It's a very, very delicate conversation to have. And I've had the conversations in the past, obviously. I'm not going to speak to who I've had it with, but I've had those conversations. They can be difficult, but if it's especially now when you see a lot of bars in New York are now sort of moving towards craft and taking a lot more time and care with the beers that they put up, and maybe they don't know that aspect. It's a much easier education conversation to have. And you know, I can always send a great thing is I can always send them to bars where I know the beer is clean and be like, well, drink your beer and then go two blocks down to X bar that is cleaning their lines X amount of times a week or a month, and you'll see the vast difference. And once you put a dirty beer and a clean beer in front of somebody, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're always going to clean their lines from them.
It's not always about the lines too. You know, having clean glassware, clean faucets, and clean couplers is some of the most important things you can do. I can't speak for everybody in the bar industry, but what we do is we take our faucets apart every week or two, depending on how much action they got the week before, and I clean out the shanks with a metal wire brush. The couplers we drop into a bucket of solution that I brought, but it's and while we're changing kegs, we just drop the coupler into a bucket right beside it and let it sterilize, and then we hook up another keg. But also, like, your faucets, like, if you ever let a tap run for like, to me, it's a month, I'm like, oh my god, look at the state of this, why didn't we clean it before? And but we try to do it now every week or two, and I've got a great crew, like, you know, Ryan and Colm and Rob and Dave and, you know, Margaret and my wife Roz are just intense on cleaning lines, and they know how important it is, and we train our staff to do it, but usually we leave it to the manager to do it, so it's just done.
So you don't have a 5 or 6 year old kid who can clean it for you?
Not yet.
Not yet. One of your goals, right?
Dog.
and then Lindsay, so you know you worked in a bunch of places uptown. Where are you working again now?
Bondurant's.
You just started up, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thanks. I like that.
So what do you guys do for cleaning your lines? And have you ever been out and noticed that the beer didn't taste that great?
Well, as somebody like front of the house too, like when you walk into a bar, you see everything. You see what people are drinking, what's going on, and you see if there's a lot of bottles and or liquor drinks. You're always hesitant to try a draft beer, for me. So because that's what I notice first as being like front of the house mostly. But they have their own system where they clean lines. Let's say like a Pilsner's going on after something else because it's a delicate beer. You want to taste everything that you can through it. But they have their own system, but they go like maybe like once, like every week and a half, they clean their lines. And I'm learning from them. My old place that I worked at, they did it all the time. Had a trusty guy. If we ever had any problems, he was there the next morning. And this is what I've learned through like Chris and Drew at Keeley's. And also my own taste. I do like to drink delicate beers every once in a while. So like, I mean, I'll always go for an IPA, but you want to taste everything. And for me, that's...
This is going to be a tough show. I don't know if we can have a whole show talking about clean beer lines, but I do care about it. I remember one time I was in an old school Times Square bar, again, I don't want to name it, and they had like four drafts, and I figured there was like Bud Light and there was Beck's, and I figured, well, at least I'll try the Beck's. And the guy next to me gave me a funny look, and he basically said in this place people only... This is the other thing about what moves. That he said, if you see the Bud Light, that's the only thing people are drinking. And it was like the Beck's line had been on for like a year. It just had everything about it just did not taste good. So that's a whole other thing is, you know, that's why we love these good beer seal bars. And we try to... I know you're working on a New York City beer trail, Patrick?
Yeah, I'm working with Kelly Taylor from the Brewers Guild. And I'm working with... Paul Leone from the Brewers Association, or State Brewers Association, to create a beer trails website and app that'll be more or less a guideline for both bars, breweries, customers, tourists, everything as like your go-to for anything beer in New York State. What we want to put in that too is, you know, a beer trails sticker on your I don't know, your taps or your front window or your door or whatever the hell. And it'll be more or less saying that, like, you know, straight from the brewery, from farm to face kind of thing. You know, it's like we want to make sure the beer's got there and it's looked after and it's clean. And, you know, so it's good. It's good.
I think we need more sites where they're really talking about the quality of the beer. And, you know, the Good Brazil's been doing that for years. But, you know, definitely adding on this clean beer experience.
It's hugely important. I think it's so important for the customer to know when they go in. Like, as you say, with the Good Beer Seal bars, like, you know, like... Getting those and getting a newsletter going out to these guys to say, like, you know, well, you know, you're part of this group now. Please look after your lines. Please clean your lines. This is the expectations of the group would be go a long way, because I know personally and I know with my friends and my managers and staff, they're so used to drinking good beer and drinking from clean lines and clean glassware that it's, you know, this is what you come to expect from Good Beer Seal bars. And, you know, it should. And what you started is a great thing to educate people on that too. So when they come into the bar, the staff could even say, like, well, we're a Good Beer Seal bar. And this
I'll tell you what, when I know, like, even offshoots of the good, like, when I'm out here in Bushwick, I know I'll go to Pine Box Rock Shop. Mm-hmm. You know, they always have great lines and the beer's great. Even at Roberta's here, they do a nice job.
They do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It also drives away customers. You know, as we're, the big thing is, a lot of us in here have been in craft beer for a very, very, very long time. And it's always about bringing people over and bringing people from that, you know, macro lager that they always go to. And if you hand them a craft beer that's from a dirty line, they're going to go right back, and we're going to lose that share again and again. So it's really important for the movement, you know, if we're still calling it that. It's super important for the movement for people to have clean beer lines.
All right.
And New York is unique in the sense that most states, it's mandated that the distributor clean their beer lines at bars and restaurants.
Is that true?
That is true. And in New York State, it is not mandated at all. There is absolutely no law in the book saying that anyone has to clean their lines whatsoever. That's how I'm able to be in business. It's because if it was any other state, the distributor would be responsible, which they employ people that do it. They do it every day, all day. They take it very seriously. But here, it's left to the device of the bar, like the bar owner. And a lot of times, you know, bars do clean their own lines, but a lot of times they don't do them as well as a guy like Patrick or you know, some other bars that I know of that clean their own lines really, really well. And, you know, that leaves a bit of a gap there. It's, you know, they're doing it. They're just not doing it well.
So with your clean beer project, you know, how do you keep track of who's cleaning their lines or whose lines you're going to recommend?
Well, in that the question. I'm not sure, honestly. I mean, as like I said, right now it's the ones that I go to and I clean myself, so I'm sure. But you know, I mean, eventually we'll get some bars that either do their own lines or have another company, because there are some great companies in New York that do the same thing that that we do. And you know, we'll post their schedule, and you know, I'll personally go in and be happy to taste test the lines to make sure. And you know, hopefully it'll grow that way, you know, just on the merit and the word of the bar owner.
Well, I'll tell you, I think it's time we drink some beer, because I don't want to talk about clean lines anymore.
You know,
Patrick, what did you bring? Tell us about your bars. You haven't been on in a while. Everyone knows about Ale Wife, but you opened the Jeffrey.
I have the Jeffrey on 60th Street between 1st and 2nd. We're open now. Jeez, I'm terrible with time. Over a year
and a half,
I'd say
a
year and a half. Fool's Gold is open about 8 or 9 months. And Ale Wife is going into its third year, I want to say. Actually, we're starting plans to build a brew pub at Ale Wife. So,
in Long Island City.
Long Island City.
Let's, yeah. What did you bring for beer? Let's pop some.
We're doing an event at the Jeffrey tonight from Tual, Denmark Brewery. So I brought a yeast.
It's like Tual, right? T O O L with a little.
Yeah, with a little strike through
it. Yeah.
So I brought that. I brought Yeastis, Christis, Super Sour, which is a very complex sour farmhouse ale. It's not actually that sour, but. And then I brought one of the best porters ever made, Black Ball Porter. I think it's like. It's spectacular.
Let's pop it. Come on.
Yeah.
All right.
And pour it all over this.
So, and the people, your managers there, your staff, everybody there, is cleaning lines. Yeah. Every time a keg
changes. Mostly the managers and the bar backs are cleaning the lines right away. And, and you know, it's just when I'm there and something kicks, I'll go down and we have a sheet of what goes on next and all that. So what we want to do is make sure that that the line's clean, and we tick it off, and the line's been clean, ready to go. Next beer goes on.
All right.
It's all done within an hour or so.
So Patrick is going to clean the lines. He's going to pour us a beer each here. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. All right. Good start.
Very
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. All right, we're rocking it out. Hey, it was Maggie Seiden's birthday the other day. She turned 25. Great co-producer. And check her out at @beer_sessions. You can wish her happy birthday. And tomorrow's Justin Kennedy's birthday, and he's awaiting the birth of a child.
Happy birthday.
You never know. He might have a baby on his birthday. So this is what we do here at Beer Sessions Radio. We hang out and drink beer. We were talking about clean beer lines, and Patrick brought some Tool for us, but... Lindsay, what was your question? You're saying sometimes you go out and you're
I'm a late night Jameson drinker.
You care about what you drink.
But like if I order Jameson out someplace, I know immediately it's not Jameson. And I've seen other people that will get very, very angry about it. And
so
I think
true.
That people should get just as angry if their beer.
So you're concerned that in some places they may be pouring cheap whiskey into their Jameson bottle.
Some places I've been to. Patrick knows when you go and play darts.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, I like my shots of Jameson later on, too. And I get that, like, gag reflex. I'm like, that's not fucking Jameson. Or, sorry, that's not Jameson.
And then you order something else, and they're like, wait, well, what's wrong? And you can see on the bartender's face,
they
get all nervous, like, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Just taking a little whiskey tour. Yeah. And then I'm going to go to bottles.
We're actually switching. I'm switching over my all my bars to Teeling Irish whiskey because it's actually more crafted. It's a phenomenal whiskey, and I can never be doubted ever again. That, oh, that's not James. Not that I ever was, but I'm saying like, but I think Teeling is a much better whiskey. And Jesus, am I promoting Teeling?
I'm gonna get a check for this.
That's what I really use to clean my lines.
Well, you know, talking about checking out clean lines. Well, first, tell us about this beer again. So it's the Tool
from Denmark. Shatten Brothers imported and Remarkable distributed. I'm actually doing an event tonight with 12 other beers on tap at the Jeffrey. And so I thought it would be a nice little mix up from.
It's great.
You know,
what is it? It's a little sour?
This is called Eustis Christus Super Sour. Kind of like mixing the words of Jesus Christ, Super Star, I guess.
You know where I've never been?
Super complex.
I haven't been to the Jeffrey yet. Maybe I should go tonight.
I know, man. I have the car outside. You're coming with me.
I'm coming with you
Kicking
tonight.
And screaming, Jimmy.
I have nothing to do. Other than a pizza at Roberta's, I have nothing to do
We
tonight.
Have a great face for radio, the both of us, but man, we got to get ourselves out there too.
I'll tell you, I'm doing a fun appearance tomorrow night. We're hosting the New York City Hot Sauce Expo, the third annual one, at the end of April. But tomorrow night in Times Square at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Times Square, I'll be eating in the chicken wings challenge.
I hope they clean
the fastest to eat. Yeah, 12 chicken wings. I don't think I'm going to drink. Oh, I shouldn't say. I don't think I'm going to drink a beer there. But yeah. Sorry, guys. But
sponsorship just went out the window.
So I got to get in shape for my chicken wing eating contest tomorrow night. So isn't that crazy? All the things that we do.
Yeah. But I'm from Buffalo. I can give you some good tips.
What do you do when you eat chicken wings? On that. Just hold your nose.
Just hold. Don't think about it. Just keep eating, and then the pain will come in about 10 minutes.
Do you
after.
Eat all the cartilage too, or is it just you know?
Oh, you go.
How everything. Do they judge it?
Go everything.
Yvonne sucks a bone dry.
Talk about chicken wings.
I'm an expert.
What are some beer bars that have good? I know Blind Tiger always has chicken wings.
They have great wings.
They have great
wings.
My God.
What about? Do you have chicken wings at your places?
I have chicken wings at Alewife and Fool's Gold. Probably the best in the city, obviously, but you know. Somebody else.
You know, my friend King Fajanagong, he's been on some shows. He's got a place, Kuma Inn, in Lower East Side. It's like Philippine Thai. He makes an awesome chicken wing. It was in the New York Times dining section last fall. It's called Wings Adobo. He fries and braises it. And it's really good. It's like a soy sauce.
I love it when I find out people like double cook fries. You know, they oven cook them first and they fry them. Fry them again, maybe triple cook. But it adds such texture to the, like, you know, if they marinate it right or fry it right. It's amazing what you can do with chicken.
Double cooked are amazing.
Well, there's a place down in Financial, I think, maybe, or Tribeca, Mudville, that has 30 draft beers. It has great wings.
I've made a mess of myself down there in wings before.
Do they have clean lines?
They used to back when I worked for my former company and cleaned them. I haven't been there.
I was there last year. I had pretty good beers there too.
They take it seriously. They do it right.
Yep. They take a lot of pride.
I think there's I don't want to bemoan this whole clean line things, but you know, usually I go to places. I go to Fool's Gold. I go to Blind Tiger. I go to DBA. These places that where I know people, and I never have ever thought the lines weren't clean. It's just. You know, with so many new places opening, I think that's why we did the show, is that I have walked into places where, wow, everything looks great. There's like a nice little bar. There's a nice line of taps. And like I said, when there's a beer I know, like it's a Sierra Nevada or a great, you know, Great Divide beer that I know, and you can tell those tastes of what's not clean.
Because, you know, it's a standard beer. Like the reason I referenced Sierra Nevada Pale Ale is because, you know, everybody knows the taste. Everyone knows what it should taste like. And it's a great beer to reference to any other to beer equipment, you know, what you have in place, or they're looking after.
I think we're getting at is that whether between it's a New York's beer trails or Good Brew Sale or a Clean Beer Project, I really think it is time to have some, you know, recognition of places with clean lines.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, you know, there's that basic thing that a lot of people say where it's you,
but not by the health department.
Yeah, well, you know, it's going
something
to take
independent.
These guys soon. Got our expansion.
Well, I mean, beer is food. Maybe the health department.
Yeah, I mean,
should
you clean a plate. Why don't you clean a line?
One time I was getting an inspection and I was walking around with the guy and I was trying to push him towards my cooler and go like, you know how clean my lines are? You should check my lines. They're really clean. All I was like fishing for that tap in the back going like, good job, buddy. Now I'm going to check everything else.
I've known of a couple of inspectors that have come in and grabbed a napkin and put it up in the faucet and see if there's any errant yeast or anything.
I've seen
like
that too. And you know what? I've heard some bad stories about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know a story is pretty good. A guy from Union Beer told me when they were up at Yankee Stadium, or A Stadium, let's say, and they were. It was start of the season, and the beer companies were coming in, and they more or less brought out all the draft equipment that's, you know, all around the stadium. And they were they don't clean the lines, but they just ripped the cables out. And there was a... They caught a hold of a little bit of, what do you call it, like gooey gunk black stuff that just pulled it right out. It was about 8 feet long. And like, that's what's in your lines if you don't clean your bloody lines. It's like...
There's videos. There's
you
videos
really want to drink that, you know? So like, you can, this is the importance of people. They
can you learn
know.
Online about cleaning lines?
Just YouTube dirty beer lines.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, there's
it's
a,
actually pretty disturbing.
There's a training segment with Bells that every year we do a thing called Skills Week, and everyone gets together and we learn about every single aspect of the brewery, from what we use to clean the floors in the cafe to what kind of yeast we're putting in Oarsman. And one of the segments in one of our days was dirty beer lines, and they showed a video about a guy who'd been getting his lines cleaned for every 2 weeks for about 4 years from a certain company. This is up in Boston. And the guy was just coming in and scamming him and pouring hot water through the lines, not cleaning it. And then someone like from the Clean Beer Project up there so along those lines went in and actually showed them how to clean their lines. And they dumped the lines into a bucket, and it basically looked like a couple thousand tiny little worms.
Oh my God!
Coming out of the lines, and this is a really high volume bar in sports bar in Boston.
They were probably fruit fly maggots.
Yeah, and he said this is what's been in your lines. This is what and the guy was ostensibly cleaning his lines, but it was just running hot water through the lines, which does absolutely nothing. You might as well just run more beer through the lines and, you know, not take a tap off for 2 hours.
Patrick, you brought a cleaning solution. So what are some of the companies that have cleaning supplies?
This is the company I've been dealing with since my early days in management over here, and it's from Thonheiser. It's called TM. It's a bloody Austrian word. DN Dysanamix, and I really like it. It's not detrimental to your beer lines. It doesn't damage them. It doesn't wear them down. It's a color coded solution. So after you pour it through, it starts coming out purple. Then it'll go green. That means you're done. Congratulations, you've all the bacteria. Your lines are clean. And it's just your indicator, you know, when your lines are done. I've been using these guys for a while. They came to New York and done, you know, give me the whole spiel and everything and showed me that there's an iPhone app where you can, like, match up the colors and things. And they were tested by Anheuser-Busch for 7 years. And, like, they actually put them through their paces for 7 years before they got approval. And now Busch used them for all their breweries all across the country and everything. And that was good enough for me, you know. I use them. I buy boxes at a time, and it's a grain, and you pour it. So at every bar, I have a cleaning can. It's like a mini keg. It's like a corny keg. It's four tops in it, like European, American, different Sankeys fit on it. And so it is technically a corny keg. So you just open it up, pour in your solution. I pour in hot water, three quarters hot water, a quarter cold water, and I run the lines out until the color changes, and we can hook up four lines at a time. We usually only do like two or three max, just so we can get more attention to the lines. And then once it changes color, you're good to go. I will, after that, then I will run through hot water and then a quick blast of cold water, and it's done. And we were talking earlier about about the amount of gas we go through, and it wastes a serious amount of gas. So I have NuCO2 at all my bars, and what we do is we shut off the CO2 and we just push it through with nitrogen, because there's nitrogen regenerators, and doesn't waste any. Well, waste some, but like not a lot.
One thing I want to ask you is, because you grew up, you know, your father had Irish bars in Ireland.
Yeah.
You know, do you think that you seem like you know things that most Americans don't about running a bar?
I don't know. Don't
they have these secrets?
I don't know. It's different. It's like, you know, I have a lot of Irish friends over here too, and you know, it's just what I was brought up with. I grew up going to a bar in the morning before school, going like lunchtime, and then back after school, doing my like little jobs and stuff, and then going home and doing my homework, and same thing next day. But it was instilled in you. Like all my family were brought up in bars. Like, you know, before I was born, or probably around time I was born, there was
your brother Joe. What places does he have?
He has Beer Authority, Rattling Hum, and
a new place,
Corley Barn.
Where is that?
Barleycorn,
downtown, right?
Downtown, yeah, financial. So both of us grew up in the family industry, and this is what we know, and this is what we do. It's like I don't really know anything else to do apart from I'm an electrician by trade, but I don't really know anything else to do but bars, and I love it. I love the business aspect of it. I love the ins and outs of running a bar. It's something that you're just. You can't really inherit, or you can't really like just learn. You just inherited it, and you know this. And I don't know. It's hard to explain to people.
Cheers to you, man. All right, so I'm going to the Jeffrey tonight, my first time there.
Cheers.
And I'll help you drink your 100 kegs a week, man.
Yeah, man.
That's pretty awesome.
We're giving a good dent in it tonight. Anyway.
I mean, I might as well give you a shout. I heard that McSorley's does like 100 kegs a week of beer. That's a lot of beer for a bar.
Yeah, it is. It's the most annoying bloody thing about it. It's 100 empty kegs. And trying to get people to pick it up. But in the summertime, we rate from 100 to 130, 140. And for a small space, but we have a backyard area too, which we're building, and we're going to be putting bells solidly on tap, Oberon, for the summertime. And it just cranks it out. It's just insane, like day and night. And, you know, we got to close a little bit early, but then it gets filled up inside every night of the week. It's great. I'm blessed to thank.
And where is the Jeffrey?
It's on 60th Street between 1st and 2nd. So it was actually a great partnership we had when we started the place. We had Andy Friedman and myself. Andy's like the food and wine guy. So we have a very good food and wine program. And I'm the beer guy, which he steps on my toes a lot for because we're both beer guys too. But and then we met up with our other partner, Steve, who owns the building. And so we had a great time building out that with negotiations of rent and all that. But it turned out to be really well, really good. And, you know, we're working on a couple of other projects and we're trying to get things going for ourselves. So
it's a great place to get in trouble under the Queensborough Bridge.
Yes, it is. Duck boat. Down underneath the Queensborough Bridge.
At 4 a.m. As somebody who's like a bartender, it's nice to know if I get done at 2 a.m. there's some place I can go and hang out for a legit 2 more hours.
Yeah. Oh, no, we close at 2.
Oh, wait, there you go.
Only when I'm there, we stay open a little bit later.
It's only.
Then I take it all back.
Well, cheers. This is a little inside into the specialty beer bars.
First goal is the 4 a.m. one.
And all the tough things you have. But it's tough work, isn't it, Pat? I mean, the more beer you sell, there's more cleaning to do. And
yeah, there's always something. Like today, Colm and I, he's a manager and my partner at the Jeffrey too, and there's never enough hours in the day, ever. You know, like we were getting ready for, we'd done a staff meeting this morning. We welcomed a new girl into the crew. And we're like, then we're like going over different things. And then we're like, oh shit, we've an event tonight. We've got to like tap 12 kegs. And, you know, doing that. And then I make my own, I started making my own beer flights out of a Pappy Van Winkle bar. So I was cutting that up all day, getting ready. We launched our beer flights tonight and just, wait, like, just paperwork.
What did you make your beer flights out of?
I made it out of a Pappy Van Winkle barrel.
A barrel?
A barrel, yeah. It done 2 bars. I ripped the thing apart. It was actually Rob Morton, my partner and manager down at Fool's Gold. I was leaning on it one night down there. I had a couple of pints of me and the bloody thing just fell apart.
What are you doing with the barrel? I understand. Because you got all these crazy things.
Yeah.
What did you do with the Pappy Van Winkle barrel?
I took it apart.
Into what? Pieces of wood?
Pieces of wood. They're about 3 to 3.5 foot long. They're all curved. And I really smashed it up and I made beer flights out of it.
I saw it on Instagram last night. It looked really nice.
Yeah. It looks good. Yeah, I'm not finished yet. I got my Dremel kit. I'm like Dremeling like the logos of the bars and stuff, and you know,
it's got everything. It's amazing.
Huh?
It does everything. It's
all right. We're going to the Jeffrey tonight. All right, you're taking me out.
Good.
All right, guys, we'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
In 1996, L. Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're out at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Can't wait to have my pizza. Then we're going to Jeffrey in the Upper East Side, Manhattan. We have a great time always on Beer Sessions Radio. We were talking about clean beer lines. We're talking about Bell's and the Jeffrey. Patrick Doniker's here. And now we're going to talk about pet peeves of people in the industry. So let's start with Lindsay. I think this came from a Men's Journal article. Fired.
We need another shot at
what started was one of the Men's Journal writers asked me, what are the pet peeves when you're in your bar? And I said, I don't have pet peeves. I like my customers. But when I go out and the lines aren't clean, it kind of ticks me off because I really like good beers on draft. Lindsay, do you have any pet peeves as an industry person when you go out or when people come into your bar?
Well, I'm going to start with this. Like, people always say when they're leaving the bar business or they're going out to get something, they're like, no, I'm going to go get a real job. To me, being in the bar business is a real job. I love it. It pays my real rent. It pays for me to go out to other real bars. So that starts with that. So I feel like a lot of times when people are behind the bar or working for places out on the floor, there should be a certain amount of pride. And this is where it like, comes in, like, where I want the beer to taste as much as the brewer intends the beer to taste, I want my customers
so your
to taste
pet peeve
that.
Is that you actually do have a real job.
Yeah.
And I read Danny Myers. He's you know the owner of Union Square Cafe and all that. He's got a great book about hospitality.
Awesome. I love this book.
And way back in the 80s, I think that at that time, people didn't really take hospitality as a serious career. But
I can't wait to the movie.
It's really
out.
Changed, you know?
That.
It is a serious career. What about for you, Yvonne? Do you have any pet peeves as a beer rep when you go out?
This could get me in a lot of trouble.
Patrick, did you make that sound effect? Dude, you Irish guys are very creative.
My friend Dave keeps on doing that when there's something about to come up, you just go.
Yep. Let's see. I'd say my pet peeve in the industry when I go out to bars is bartenders who, I don't know how deep I can go with my English on this show, but bartenders who don't give a shit about the beer. That's one of my biggest pet peeves. If you've got an owner like that puts a tremendous amount of money into a build out, but has a beautiful space, pays a lot of rent, great location, great menu, great beer program, great liquor program, and then they hire a server or a bartender who could give.
Or maybe they don't even like beer.
Or they don't even like beer, and they're talking to their customers, and it just ruins the entire experience of all the money that the owner and the managers and all the work that everyone behind them, even the reps coming and sell the beer, put money into. And if you have, I mean, basically in craft beer bars, a lot of the bartenders are educators at the same time. If they don't care or they know nothing about it and they choose not to care, that's a real downer for me.
That's a big red flag too, yeah. From an owner's point of view of like, you know, I send secret shoppers out to all my bars. And if I ever find that out about my staff, you know, it'd be definitely a written warning saying, like, you know, you got to get your stuff together. Like, I send out books to my staff. We do beer training at the bars. We're about to step it up now. I've got a great guy, Ryan Bedford, on my team. And, you know, he's managing.
Yeah, Jeffrey Ryan's great.
Buffalo
yeah.
guy.
Yeah. And, you know, both of us are going to work a program, too, of, like, staff training. But all my staff take such interest in what we pour, you know. It's incredible. I'm very proud and very happy with all my staff that work for me, because they're all of them are fucking beer geeks. they're so into whatever I'm tapping next. And, you know, they're like, I'll send them an email like going like, all right, these beers are coming up or this event's coming up, you know, like, I'm like, oh my God, please, can I be working that night? Or, and then you get an email back later, actually, can I have that night off? I'm going to come and drink.
But, hey, well, let's talk about this beer. Did you bring this beer, Lindsay?
Yeah, I brought it.
So talking to the mic, please. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So tell us what the beer is. It's pretty great. I've had some Cascade before.
I've never had this one. I saw it and I was like, I'm buying it, bringing it on Tuesday. Yeah, it's cranberry.
Cascade, Pacific Northwest. Who wants to talk about it? Yeah. Yvonne, what do you think of this? This is amazing. They have a lot of different fruit lambics, right?
Yeah, this is Northwest. This is one of the breweries that I'm completely and utterly unfamiliar with. I only see it. It's like one of those white whales that you kind of see on the internet. And you don't really get to see it in New York City as much, and I just noticed a lot of it come into the.
It was like Hop Slam. Remember that years ago when we heard of it? We never had it.
I'm not familiar with Hop Slam, Patrick.
No, I don't know what that beer. Is.
What do you think, Sean?
Northwest style sour ale. It's interesting.
It's a lambic. I mean, it's a fruit lambic.
It is,
Cascade
but it's
makes
not too fruity. I think they say Northwest because it does have a drier sort of hop character.
Yeah, Cascade are ridiculously amazing. I love them. I see them when they come into the city. I buy everything I can from them. I have their elderberry sour was mind blowing. So when Lindsay pulled this out, I'm like, oh my God, yes, we're going to drink some Cascade tonight.
Yvonne, let's open the other growler that Jeff. So, oh, yeah, Patrick, some of that. I know you have a lot of draft beers in your establishments. What about your bottle beer program?
We keep it tight at Alewife. We have maybe 20 bottles on our regular list, and then we have a secret menu when we see a couple of beer geeks come in, we're like, and they're ordering from our bottle menu, we go, hey, do you want to see something special? And we always have a good selection of Cantillon or Sours on this. And what I like to see is, I don't like to see a big bottle menu when I go there, especially when there's a bottle menu with a lot of hops. Usually we do that as a bottle of the week and we get rid of our hops immediately when it comes in. So this week at the Jeffrey, we have Daronc Ruse, which is, I had, oh no, sorry, Bink Ruse from Kirk and Bink in just outside Brussels. We have that on as our bottle of the week this week.
Bink's great.
Solid
so
beer.
So you get in a couple of cases and you just try to sell it out.
I bought 25 cases.
Did you?
From Jeffrey, because I fucking love this beer. It's amazing. I had it out at the...
That's what I'm going to have you tonight.
Yeah.
I love Bink,
definitely
too.
Definitely share that beer. Yeah. It's amazing. And you know, my bottle programs are good. We have good cooler space and we try to push our bottles as much as we can. I don't usually bring in many IPAs or double IPAs or anything with a lot of hops in them in bottle form because, you know, it's just going to go bad and you need to move a lot more of them. Unless it's Hop Slam, which we sold like 20 cases in 4 days, which was stupid. But, you know, you wouldn't trust that otherwise. Usually in the bottle program, I keep a lot of stouts, big barley wines, you know, triples, doubles. It's a variety. It's a nice selection I have at each bar, and we move through it quite a bit.
All right, man. And there's another Tool. So how do you say it? Tool.
Tool.
Tool. From Denmark. What's this other one?
This is the Black Ball Porter. It's sick. It's really, really, really good. It's one of the best porters, in my opinion, ever made. Ever.
It's got a bit of a boozy nose, but it's like so creamy and easy drinking.
It's the Pannis.
What's the ABV on it?
Does it say on it there?
I don't know.
I don't look at ABVs. I go for the flavor.
Oh.
That's a good one. And Sean, so for you, for Clean Beer, is that the name of your company, Clean Beer Projects?
Yeah, I mean, that's the name of my new, like, my new project. But my company is Draft Mechanics, LLC.
So in addition to cleaning lines in beer bars in the city, you've also helped set up some line systems at breweries, right?
I have. I built the draft system at the tasting room at Finback Brewery most recently. But I do a lot of installs at bars. You know, I did Livingston Manor in downtown Brooklyn. I do all the Oaxaca Taco places. Those guys are blowing up. They're opening places everywhere, and I get to do little four-line systems at all of them. That's pretty awesome. Yeah, so staying busy.
Well, cheers to good draft beer. And one thing I like about having really good craft beer is that it's craft, not draft. And that's another show about places with 8 to 15 lines of draft that are just like crappy, you know, not really craft beer, but we don't have to talk about that on this show. But what I do care is that when I see a really good craft label and I want to see the lines clean, it means a lot to me. So let's keep talking about this. Patrick's been a leader. You got the New York City Beer Trails coming up. We're going to go to the Jeffrey tonight. New York State, excuse me, sir.
So and the sticker go right next to the Good Beer Seal?
Wherever you want. Yeah. We'll make be honored to be right next to the Good Beer Seal.
Yes, we hope so. And also with the Clean Beer Project, we'll hopefully see. There's quite a few companies in New York City that are cleaning beer lines, and hopefully you guys can get together and create some little system that lets our consumers know, did you get your lines cleaned, you know, recently? And maybe it's...
That would be nice to have a little cooperation within the industry.
It's like when you go into a restaurant or a bar and you see, like, you know, I know, I can just say for myself, you know, we have a list on the... a spreadsheet on every bathroom, like, when was this last clean? Like, it'd be nice to see that in every bar.
You know, I've had the idea of having, like, a picture frame with a little lock on it that every time it's come and cleaned, only I have the key, and I come and I unlock
I think
it,
you
I
should
mark
do
that it's clean.
I'm going to run out of ink in my place.
Yeah, it's like when the exterminator comes. Well, Patrick, you just have to, you know.
I mean, we'll see.
You're your own god, Patrick.
We definitely need to trust the bar owner to some extent.
The joke I wanted to make tonight, which I don't think anyone gets, if you've ever seen The Hard Day's Night, there's a Paul McCartney's grandfather is, they keep making a joke about how clean he is. And I never knew what that was about, but it was like the precursor of Sanford and Sons. And this actor was like living in a junkyard, but he was really interested in cleanliness. So I like to say for these boys, especially Patrick, the joke is he's Mr. Clean from Hard Day's Night because he's the guy that definitely wins the award of most caring about cleaning his draft lines. The sense that I don't even want to talk about it.
I don't
it anymore,
want to be the most clean. I want everyone.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Would do this. You know, it's important. I like drinking in other people's bars. I want to drink good beer.
I agree. And by the way, Jimmy, thank you for awarding me the local Beer Hero Award at your Brewer's Choice event.
You deserved it, man, because you've been promoting clean beer lines, and that's kind of the new I think that's our theme for this year. I think this year, July, Good Beer Month. We're going to have to recognize.
I got a couple of bars for you to sign up.
I think you do.
Let's make it a new trend in craft beer. Clean lines. Yeah,
I got a couple stadiums for you to sign up.
Yes, please.
And then Bell's in New York City. So the big story last year, wrap it up. You guys came to New York a year ago, and it was bigger than any beer we've ever had. Bell's launching. Larry Bell came on. We did a great show with him. You know, we talked about, you know.
Well, you know, it was an honor. It was unbelievable. This past year has been insane. And we didn't expect to come in. No expectation to come in and blow the doors off. There was no sort of, like, you know, mothership push to put the beer out there. We just wanted to come into New York, and we'd had a lot of fans for a number of years bootlegging our beer into the city. I don't know.
Patrick Doniger.
and I, be honest, myself included, I used to bootleg Two Hearted in from Philadelphia.
So what's coming in this spring?
This spring, in a couple weeks, we got our Oberon, our big American hoppy wheat ale launch. It's the beer that put us on the map. It's what our fans are most rabid for. They love Oberon. It's a really easy drinking summer beer, and it signifies in the great white north the coming thaw. It's a baseball beer. It starts around, we usually release it right around opening day, and it goes all the way until the playoffs start, usually. So it's definitely, that's our big release coming up soon. And like Patrick said, very kind of him to be pouring our beer in the backyard of the Jeffrey this summer, which if you haven't been there,
please.
It's awesome. Yeah, I'm just going to slide over. It's been
the old school Irish ways of running a bar. We know about that.
hey.
All right.
I don't know what you're talking about here.
I want to see you start. I want to see photos and tweets of every time you clean your lines.
Yeah,
you should. You should Instagram it.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm
gonna get more people unfollowing than ever.
From a business partner, a patron, and a friend of Patrick Doniger, I can tell you he's got some of the cleanest lines in the city.
Fist bump.
Yeah, always.
All right. Well, we covered something we haven't talked about before. So that's kind of new today. And Lindsay, wrap it up. Tell us about the new place you're working at.
It's Bondurant. So it's on 85th and 2nd, close to the Jeffrey. Kind of little neighbors. They do 24 rotating drafts. Not in my face. Sorry. but it's exciting to be someplace new. I'm learning something. They enjoy craft beer as much as I do, and we're both learning together and try to like get our ideas all on one same map. And it's great to be there.
Congratulations,
the people, Katie and Ryan. They're awesome.
And Bondurant is awesome. I've been up there a bunch of times. Great neighbors, and a definite, like, just having, like, you know, between the Jeffrey Pony Bar and Bondurant and the Upper East Side, it's like getting a little bit cozy.
Our own little beer trail up
there.
And then, Lindsay, last pet peeve. If you're bartending, what is something that you don't like that a customer asks you or does?
Can you top this beer off?
There's only a quarter left.
Yeah. They're like, this head is too, well, it's a Belgian beer, my friend. But then once they come back and after a while they see everybody else, it's that probably is used, but like since like maybe about 4 years that question does not come up as much. But yeah, can you top this beer off? They want it like basically like a martini coming over the sides.
That's a good one. I think we'll do another pet peeve show.
What's your lightest beer? That's my favorite.
What's the most girly beer?
People still ask those questions.
Oh, yeah. Or when there's a quarter inch of head and they say, there's too much head on this. Can I get one with its beer all the way to the top?
That's what she's going to top it off. Yeah.
That's all right. So terrible.
I'm not going to ask Patrick his pet peeves because he's got too many of them.
Too many people off.
Yeah, we don't want to hear him anymore. So, all right. Well, this is
selfie,
a great show.
Selfie.
All right. Photos here. But I'd like to thank our sponsors at Union Beer Distributors who've helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Thanks to... Who's on the show here? It's like Lindsay, Patrick, Sean, and Yvonne for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Maggie Seiden, happy birthday, and Justin Kennedy, happy birthday.
Thanks
and
for
engineers,
having us.
Jack Inslee. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Love you,
yeah.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today, Thanks for listening.